We turn to the Word of God tonight to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And we're going to begin reading in this chapter at verse 19. Leviticus 19, we begin reading at verse 19. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to an husband and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done. And the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. And when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. And in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. This far we read God's word. Our text tonight is found in verse 32 of this chapter. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. With this sermon, people of God, we come to a close in our series on the upright man. We have learned that even as the virtuous woman, an upright man is one who fears God and keeps his commandments. He does this already when he is young, and he does that when he is a single man. He is called upon by God as he grows to put away childish things and to remember his Creator in the days of his youth. When he marries, he needs to tend to the things that please his wife. He is to walk in all faithfulness with her. He must cherish her as a fellow heir with him to eternal life, and his eyes may not stray to turn in lust toward others, but his pleasure must be found in the wife of his youth. If the Lord is pleased to give him and his wife children, Then he must be diligent also as a God-fearing man in the instruction of those children. And not only must he be interested in making sure his children behave themselves respectfully in the home and in the church, but he must aim at winning the hearts of his children in order that he might influence them there within. It is with the heart, after all, that man believes unto salvation. And the father must have a profound influence upon the heart of his children. That's what we have learned up to this point in our series of sermons. Now the upright man is old. His children have left the home to make a life for themselves in this world and in the church. Some of them perhaps marry in the Lord, settling there in the church together with them and their wives and their children. Others determine that they can serve the Lord as well in single life. But be that as it may, the man and the wife have now become, quote unquote, empty nesters, meaning, of course, that the little birds have now left the nest. The passage before us tonight enjoins us concerning the place and the position and the rank of the elderly man in the church and in his family. It is a passage that needs to be preached on. In fact, probably more than what it oftentimes is. How are we to view the older men of our congregation and the older men of our own families? How are we to treat the grandfather in the church? The word of God before us tonight is taken from the book of Leviticus, the book, therefore, of the Old Testament law of God. And it is, therefore, the verse that we consider tonight is, therefore, a command of God to his Old Testament church. And it deals exclusively with how the younger in the church, both men and women, ought to view and deal with older men of the church, how grandchildren of the church are to deal with grandfathers in the church, and that they must view them with honor. Since this word of God is found in the Old Testament, we cannot help but notice also in the Hebrew the picturesque language that is used to describe one's dealings with the elderly man in the church. And that will come out as we explain this particular word of God tonight as well. And it will, we pray, reveal concretely now the attitude that ought to be evident in the way that the younger deal with the older in the church of Christ. But more, we pray that it will reveal that God is a God who always demands of his people proper respect and reverence toward those that God appoints to that place in the church. This is the way he has chosen, as we will find, to preserve the church in its generations through reverence, honor, and respect. So we consider together the place of the old man in the church. We do so under the theme, honoring the hoary head. Honoring the hoary head. In the first place, we want to consider the command itself. Secondly, the reason for this command. And then finally, the blessing that prevails in the church of Christ when this command is heeded. The command, the reason, and the blessing. The term hoary is not all that familiar, is it, in modern English? It simply means the white-haired or the gray-haired man in the church. The term hoary comes from the frost that oftentimes settled in Palestine in the high places and sometimes in the inland plains. It was called in the Old Testament the hoarfrost. The hoarfrost. We are familiar with what such frost is because we see this kind of frost almost every year. It's a common thing to you and to me. Usually in the late fall, a mist falls that settles on the grass. And as the temperatures begin to drop, then as that mist falls, it freezes. And it lands upon the tips of the grass so that the grass is layered with, not snow, but a layer of frost. That green grass has over the top of it a white frost. That's why we're familiar with it. Probably much more familiar with it than people in Palestine themselves, because it was not as common as an occurrence over there. But that's what is referred to by the nation of Israel, or in the scriptures, as hoarfrost. And that idea was applied to the elderly men whose hair was losing its pigment and was changing into gray, or in some instances, especially as a person got older, white hair. His hair was as white as the hoarfrost. As such, the hoary head was meant to describe men who had entered into their 60s, 70s, and older. And that is what is meant in our text tonight as well. The hoary head refers to the older men of the church. Despite whether their hair has indeed changed, or whether they have, as in my case, lost their hair and are bald. The term refers to those, as a general rule, whose children are grown up and moved out of the house, an older man. Now the command here in the Leviticus 19, verse 9, or 32 states this: thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, that is, before the old man in the church. According to this particular command of the law, a young man was obliged to stand up when an old man entered into the room, to rise in his presence. Once the elderly saint passed by or himself was seated, then that young man might be seated again. But as long as that old man stood before him in his presence, then that younger man would stay standing as well to show him respect. That was the custom. That was the law that was settled upon in the Jewish nation, but also a law that was observed by the heathen peoples in the East, and in many instances still is today. In fact, it was considered, to use the words of a commentator who is considered a scholar on Jewish law, it was considered, quote, an abominable wickedness if a young person did not rise in the presence of older men. This was true because this act revealed a deep respect and a deep reverence toward the place of that senior man in his presence. It was an act of honoring the elderly saint of the church. Now, that is an act, of course, that is long forgotten in the present age and society in which we live. This is due in part, of course, because of old men themselves today. He insists that younger men, that children, call him by his first name and treat him as a peer. He thinks that having reached his old age is a curse or a bane, and he wants to stay young. And he wants to stay young and sees no honor in himself now that he has turned old. So in order to stay young, he wants the younger man to call him by his first name, and he wants to try to act like he's young, just like that young man. So part of this is his own fault. But this is also due in large part to the society in which we live, because the society in which we live is given over to rebellion, where there is a lack of respect and honor shown toward parents, toward magistrates, toward employers, much less honor and respect shown toward the elderly in the church. We live in a rebellious age, and that creeps into the church too. Maybe it shows itself in a milder form than what it does in the world, but when children and young men do not show the honor that they ought to the aged saint, not only to men but to women as well in the church. For example, when I was young, and I could talk about that now as an old man of the church, no, an elderly man of the church, when I was young, I was scolded severely by my parents if I presumed even to call an older man or woman by their first name. It was Mr. and it was Mrs., or if single, it was Miss. You didn't call them by their first name. In fact, I was rather embarrassed as a young pastor who started out his pastorate at the age of 23 and 24 and had to go and visit elderly widows in my church. And those widows I would address by their last names, Mrs. So-and-so. And they told me, no, you call us by our first name. And I said to them, but I wasn't raised to do that. They said, nevertheless, you're our pastor now, and you may call us by our first name. But otherwise, I was a bit embarrassed by doing that. When I worked in the South as a pastor for some time in a mission field there, then young men addressed all elderly people, whenever they spoke to them, as yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. As a child, I knew that when an older saint walked into the room and I was sitting in a chair, that I had better immediately vacate that chair so that he could have a seat, and I would go and sit on the floor. There's something about that attitude, you know, toward the elderly that is lost today. And I say that because, according to Scripture itself, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Old men are out of touch with the times, it is said by the generation now growing up in the church and taking their place. They're not progressive enough. They're stuck in their old ways, and they hold the church back, it seems, from developing. Oftentimes that's the assessment, mind you, that is given not by the very young, but, as I say, the generation now that is taking the place of the elderly in the church, when in fact the younger man of the church ought to consider that there may be a reason that the older saints are not willing to give in to the impetuous changes that a new generation are more than willing to jump into. Maybe there is wisdom in the old ways. There are, after all, or there is, after all, a reason things were done the way that they were done in the past. Reasons that perhaps the younger generation ought to ask about before jumping into changing the ways. The old men have a place in the church, and that place is to caution the young generation that they do not foolishly, without even thinking, choose a path that is not the path of God. There is, after all, Solomon says, no new thing under the sun. That which has been, he says, shall be in the future. Well, the old man has lived to see what has been, and that in order to warn against those young, or to warn the young men against what ought not to be in the future. Children, I'll address you also at this point, just for a few moments. How much do you show respect for your elders? In the church, in your own family, parents, how much respect do you show to them? The saying still holds true today, you know, as it did many years ago. Children ought to be seen and not heard. How well do you follow that rule when adults are present with you? Is the adult given that respect and that honor by the children of the church? How often it is that I can see when we have fellowship dinner, the children running and cutting off adults so that they can get into line first, as if they have some kind of privilege over the elderly in the church. Really? How often it is that you can hear a child cutting into the conversation of an adult? Not only rude, but cutting in and making their own voice heard as if they have more wisdom and they have more to offer than what the adult does. Instead of sitting back and just listening to the adults and learning from them. You see, the whole idea of respecting our elders is reinforced when the law here adds this: and honor the face of the old man. I'm sure that we as little children have looked closely at the face of our grandfather at one time or another, haven't we? And we take note that his face has taken on lines and wrinkles and blemishes. In fact, I had a daughter who loved to play with my father's sagging neck when he was old. We take note of that, don't we, children, when we sit on the laps of our grandfathers. If he has a beard and that beard is turning gray, there are crow's feet, wrinkles around the corners of his eyes if he is one that is given to smile a lot, or there's a crease in his forehead when he is given to frown a lot. His nose and his ears are getting bigger, and as we noticed, his neck begins to sag. Those are signs of old age. And we could smile at that kind of a description tonight, but the idea of the command here before us is this, literally, honor the face of the old man. And the word honor in the Hebrew here now literally means that we ought to view that old face of the old man as his adornment. It's his adornment. Now, once again, in the society in which we live, old men don't want to consider that aging face as an adornment, do they? You got to buy Rogaine and try to get that hair to grow again. Or you have to dye the hair so that it isn't turning gray anymore. Or perhaps if you're wealthy, you have to get a facelift to take away all of those wrinkles that you find in your face. A man's old face, a man's gray hair, his wrinkles, according to Scripture itself, according to this passage, in that term honor, are the adornment that ought to be viewed as an honor. In the case of an old man, and the younger men of the church, when looking on the old man, do not view him as useless. Do not view him as washed up, so that it's time, well, to put the old man out to pasture. He's called upon to look upon that face of the old man and honor him for his age. To stand before such a man with deep respect and reverence and say, that's who I want to be when I get older. And to reinforce this whole idea, we must remember that the verse we have before us is, in fact, one of the Levitical laws, a law of the Old Testament. It was considered a capital crime in Israel if a young man did not show that kind of reverence to an old man. It was not just a nice gesture now on the part of the younger man in the church toward the older man in the church. I'm going to stand when he enters into a room. It was a law. He had to do that in order to honor that old man, a requirement. And no lackadaisical attitude allowed by a boy or young man toward his elders would give an excuse for him to do so. It was something that parents diligently insisted upon in the instruction of their children and of their youth. Something that was disciplined when it was not done. And I repeat, we in our modern society, in the past few generations, have become horribly lax in this regard. In many homes of the church, sad to say, parents have become enemies, and grandparents are totally ignored. And neither can we use as an excuse that this is an Old Testament law and custom, and therefore one that we do not have to keep any longer in the Church of Jesus Christ today. It may be true that it is not a capital crime to show disrespect to an elder today, but it is still a sin. Perhaps a young man need not stand up immediately when an elderly saint walks into the room, although now that I am one of those elderly saints, I could grow to appreciate that custom. But it's no longer a requirement. I realize that. No longer a requirement that is forced upon a young man today. We're no longer subject to the Levitical laws today. But we ought not to forget that in those Levitical laws is contained a lasting principle. And that's what we have to look at in the law that we have before us too. It is the principle that abides yet of this law that is important to the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. Paul writes this in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder woman as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. And the idea there is not that you don't rebuke an elder in the church in his office and entreat him as a father, but that word elder, the elder means there an older man in the church. Be careful that you don't rebuke an older man in the church, but entreat him with all of the respect and all of the honor that you would give to your very own father. Peter speaks of the same thing in a very short phrase in 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. There's the lasting principle, you see, of God's word here. In his enduring proverb, we find that Solomon writes in chapter 16, verse 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." The hoary head is a crown of glory. You talk about honor. That old face that you see is a crown. The hoary head is a crown of glory. Talk about adornment that the older man has in the Church of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, what David himself writes in a plea to Jehovah in Psalm 71, verse 18. "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." That, of course, admonishes the elderly saint in the church too, the old man of the church. Show the strength of God and Jehovah to the generation that is to come. Don't be afraid to speak to your children and your grandchildren about that glory of God and what he has done for you in your life. Then you see the righteousness of that old man becomes a crown of glory in his life. But the point is, the principle set forth in this particular law of Moses is, in fact, timeless. It is to be observed in the Church of Jesus Christ today. In fact, as we're going to find, it is important that it is observed in the Church of Jesus Christ today. The old man is to be held in honor and dignity for the sake of his age and the words of wisdom that he can impart as a righteous man, held in high esteem, reverenced, feared. That's the command that we have before us in the Levitical law here. And here's the reason behind this command that God gives here in our text. I am Jehovah. That's why you show honor to the old man. I am Jehovah. How important for us to remember that name of our God. The name, as we all know, means children. Jehovah means I am that I am. God explains that name to Moses in Exodus 3, verses 13 through 15 of that chapter. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." That means that God is the God of his people from everlasting to everlasting unto a thousand generations. God is. He is the I am that I am. He has no beginning. God has no end. We cannot say of God that he was and that he will be, because God has no past and has no future. He is. God exists as the eternal one. And as such, we learn of that God that he is the Ancient of Days. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, God says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." God is eternal. And God reminds the nation of Israel repeatedly in this chapter, but in connection with this command as well, that he is a God who is indeed, in human terms, old. That's what ancient means. He is the ancient one. His eternity is who God is. It's a part of God's essence. We cannot identify God apart from his eternity, you know. And the evidence of this is that he has dwelt among his people from the very beginning of time, thousands of years, and he'll dwell with his people to the end of time. And then he will dwell with us everlastingly in heavenly glory. That's the God whom we serve. And because God has dwelt in his church from the very beginning of time, the Bible identifies the church as an ancient people. We belong to a church that has existed throughout the ages. And Jehovah has preserved, and he has guarded, and he has led that church from everlasting, and he will to everlasting. You see that face of the old man of the church? You see it? All of its wrinkles, all of its blemishes. You see that old face? That face with its wrinkles and its blemishes is representative of Jehovah. The old man is time-honored. He has lived through the hardships of life, the twists and the turns that life in this old sinful world has placed before him. He has had to battle long and hard in his life with sin, his own sin, as well as sin in others. He has been called upon to defend the faith against those who oppose it and to preserve the faith in those who have slipped from it. The old man of the church has dealt with difficult matters. And as little children of the church, we can't even realize what difficult matters he's dealt with. And as young adults in the church, just beginning to understand, because we're going through some of those hard times ourselves. Well, he has walked through those many times in wisdom and from experience. Therefore, he can testify concerning God's ways with him, in his family, and in the church. And he can testify that this God is Jehovah, who in all of his faithfulness has dwelt with him despite his own unworthiness before God. The old man, young saints, holds a wealth of knowledge that young men and young women can tap into and learn. We ever view them that way? But most importantly in all of this, old age, the old age of a godly man, is in itself to be honored. Sometimes old men aren't all that worthy of honor, but we honor him anyway, because he's old. These men of the church have been in the world longer than the younger. And God has sustained their lives in this world. God has given them, quote unquote, length of days. And because God has bestowed on them such honor, they do become representatives of God. They symbolize, you see, the eternity of God himself. Old age in God's eyes is honorable because it represents him as the Ancient of Days, as Jehovah, the I Am that I Am. God views old age in a way that contrasts itself with the attitude of so many in Western civilization today. Old age, it is said, in our civilization, has no dignity and has no honor. Old age is of no value to society. Euthanasia is a wonderful prescription for those who have become so old and decrepit that they're absolutely useless to us. So they might as well take away their lives. So assisted suicide and euthanasia, it is claimed, is dying in honor and in dignity. Really? Really? Is suicide or out and out murder dignity? An old man or an old woman that suffers with the infirmities of life and can bear them, knowing that God is even faithful in them, that's dignity and that's honor. Let that never be taken away from that old man or woman of the church. Furthermore, this Levitical law points out clearly that fearing Jehovah God is the reason for rising up before that hoary head and honoring the face of that old man. Fear God. That's the reason, mind you, behind it. That's the reason that's given us here in this particular law. Honor the face of the old man and fear me, God says. Honor the face of the old man and fear me. That's how you fear me. By honoring that old man, the face of that old man. And that concept of fearing God has been perhaps the one underlying theme of our entire series on the man. As well as, if you recall a number of years ago, the underlying theme of the virtuous woman too. Fearing God. The fear that characterizes the godly man of the church, the man of faith, is deep reverence toward God, honoring God and esteeming him highly for who he is. A man or a woman who fears God is one who bows before that God with trembling because he knows God as the Almighty One and the Holy One and the Ancient of Days. And he has a deep-seated respect for Jehovah. He stands in awe and amazement before the works of God and before the wisdom of that God. God's ways are in the sea, and his paths are past finding out. Who is so great a God, beloved saints, is our God whom we serve. And that fear of God instills a deep love, a devotion toward him in the life of the child of God, and instills in us a desire, therefore, naturally, to honor the elderly saint in the church as well. And that's true. That's true of us. We fear God because the Spirit of Christ dwells in our hearts. Let's not leave Christ out of this equation. The ungodly man has no fear of God before his eyes. No wonder they dishonor the elderly. No wonder in our society they would just as soon put a man out of his misery by mercy killing them. No wonder. There's no fear of God. And because there's no fear of God, there's no honor for the elderly either. But we have that because God, by His grace, has worked in our hearts. And by that grace, He has brought us to our knees in humble repentance for our sins and an acknowledgement of who He is as our God. We, children, young men, young women of the church, are those in whom the Spirit of our risen Lord dwells. We've been delivered from the bondage of our unbelief and the corruption of that unbelief. And we've been set free in the blood of Jesus Christ, so that now we are able to see who God is with our eyes and hear what God says to us with our ears and understand Him with our hearts. That's true of us. And now we know who God is, and we love and honor Him and fear Him. And because we fear God, we fear the old man of the church as well, who, after all, exhibits his own love and fear for God. In other words, because fear is deep respect and devotion toward God, we also have that fear or that deep respect and that devotion toward those whom God has raised up in the midst of His church to be an elderly saint there. We honor old men because we honor God. We stand in amazement before them and we hear them and learn from them. Now, I'll give you another example from my youth. And now he's young and sitting in the pew. Then we had a long line of elders that would walk up the center aisle in the church where I grew up. When I saw those elders walk into the church, I stood in awe of them. They were elders in the church. They were the elderly men of the church. And I did not want those elders ever to get angry with me. When that elder and that pastor came to my house on family visitation, I was on my best behavior because, well, who would want them to be angry with me for not behaving? A certain fear, certain respect, certain honor, you see, for those men that God had placed in my midst. And as I said earlier, that's a foreign concept in our modern culture and society that is void of respect and selfish. And one other example that I can give in that regard as well. I had an elder in the last congregation where I served who spoke to me of the fact that when he was a young man, he was rather rebellious in the church, always questioning the necessity of why he had to be there on a regular basis and why he had to be such a part of the church. But he says, it always struck me. I saw old men and women coming to church, some of them who could hardly get into church because they couldn't walk. They were so feeble. Old men or women that would sit there that could hardly hear the preacher because they were going deaf. They were so old. And I was struck by that example that they left me in my life. If they saw as old saints of the church the necessity of being in church twice every Sunday, then it has to be the right thing. And that influenced me, he said, as a young man, to continue coming to church. And he was saying that to me now as an old man of the church. Old age is a God-honored age. And what is inherent in this particular commandment of this word of God is that there is a subsequent blessing for the Church of Jesus Christ that God bestows on her when honor is shown in the church. The blessing that this command implies is that of preservation of the church of Jesus Christ. This is the way that God chooses to preserve his church from one generation to the next generation. It's the way of honor. It's the way of reverence toward those to whom he bestows such an honor. Yes, to office bearers in the church, to the pastor and the elders and the deacons, honor there. But honor as well as far as the elderly saint in the church is concerned too. And in this instance, of course, the hoary head of a man. Since God is eternal, since God is the ancient of days, he has chosen the way of honoring the elderly of the church. As that way now he will preserve his church. Again, look at contemporary Christianity today that has totally ignored the old ways that the church has walked in the past. The Lord's Day is desecrated. That wasn't the way of the church in the past. The church honored the Lord's Day in the past. But no, as each generation went by, they ignored what the old ways were that the fathers and the elderly in the church had told them about. And they went their own way and now interpret somehow the Word of God. They wrest or twist the words of Scripture in order to support desecration of the Lord's Day and say, well, that's perfectly legitimate for the church today. They ignored the hoary head that warned them against that. Worship today in the church is polluted. They had been warned against that by the old in the church. That's not the way we did it in the past. Ha! The way you did it in the past is worn out. It's old tradition. There's a new way and a contemporary way of worshiping Jehovah today. Ignore the hoary head. Heresy, horrible heresy, prevails in the church today. And the confessions, mind you, that were written by our fathers in the church, totally ignored to go in the way of heresy today. God places the older generation in the church for a reason. And when warning is given by the old and they are ignored, then the church departs from the ways of God. The church is destroyed. It remains church in name, but far from the Lord. God preserves his church, beloved saints, by way of showing honor and respect for the elderly in the church and the warnings that the aged man gives. It's not as if their way is infallible. No, old men are not infallible in the church. But they do hold the church in check. And they do offer ways of wisdom. And God uses that to preserve his church from one generation to the next. That's God's blessing on the church, by way of honoring the face of the old man. Children of the church, young men, young women of the church, rise up before the hoary head. Stand in his presence and honor him, the eternal God, the ancient of days, commands you to fear him by honoring your elder. And God is sorely displeased when we do not do that. But when we obey God, then we shall see our children's children in peace upon Israel. What a beautiful way that God leads his church from one generation to the next. God will guard our church and preserve it too in this place. in the generations to come in that way. We thank God that his name can be feared among us as it is. May God bless the upright man of his church. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful unto thee for thy word. Word that is seldom oftentimes heard, but a word that does indeed speak to us of that elderly brother in the church, father in the church. We pray, Father, that thou wilt grant unto us also a honor and respect toward those who are the elderly in our midst. May we show that honor not only to old men, but to women as well. And in that honor, Father, may we fear thee, our God. Forgive us where we fail. At times we do that. And we ask that thou wilt renew us in our strength, that we might walk in thy ways. Grant to us thy grace now, and be with us in this week to come, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.